We are going to resume recording. Good morning. It's the fourth Sunday, or is it the fifth Sunday? It's the fourth Sunday of Lent, March 22nd, and it's RCI Vigil 2020 version. I'm Bernadette Flowers. I don't know why I'm acting as if we're on a podcast, but but welcome.
Hello.
Let's begin with prayer. And one of the prayers that I have really embraced during this time is the act of spiritual communion, because it just really helps us stay connected to Christ. And it's a prayer that those of us who are able to receive the Eucharist, because we are Catholic now, can pray in solidarity with those of you who are preparing to receive Eucharist for the first time. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Carla is going to lead our gospel, our day today. And so I'm going to hand off to Carla to kind of lead us through that whole piece.
Yay! Hello, all my virtual friends. Today's gospel is from John chapter 9, and it's 1 through 41, so it's a longer one. So if everyone, like, I'm looking at it on my phone, but if you have it in script or in your Bible, you can open it up. Let me know when you guys are ready. Give me a thumbs up since you're muted.
Ready.
Melissa, I didn't see you. How are you?
And if you look at the bottom of your screen, there should be a icon that says reactions, and you can give her a reaction there that she can see if she can't see your picture.
There's a
thumbs up and a clap.
I don't even see it, but
if you're on your phone, sometimes it's harder to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on an iPad. Well, that would be the same as an iPhone, but okay. Oh, here we go. Gotcha.
Bravo.
All right. Bravo. Are we Bravo. Ready?
Okay.
A reading from the Gospel of John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Someone said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." And he said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made the clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" And his parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do it to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered him and said, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." And he said, "I do believe, Lord," and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do not see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" And Jesus said to him, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The word of the Lord, or the gospel of the Lord. That's a long one. What do you guys think?
Well, I think the message, I'm sorry, go ahead. I think the message is great because, you know, it reminds me of my conversion. And when I was, before I became Catholic, when I became Catholic, it just expanded my heart and I was able to see differently and a whole new world became before me. So the story reminds me of my conversion.
Yeah, I feel like, for me, it's so interesting because, like, it's almost like putting yourself in there and trying to figure out, like, who we are in the story. Mm-hmm. It's like you have Jesus who heals this man on the Sabbath, and all the Pharisees are so, almost like they're in fear. They're so worried that, like that he healed on the Sabbath and he did this and he did that. They're missing the miracle of it in some way. And the parents are so grateful, but they're sort of hidden in fear because they don't want their fear of what's going to happen if they recognize it. So they've seen this miracle, they recognize it, but they ask the son to speak to it. And then there's this son who's healed that speaks to it and gets kicked out. And so for me, it was this question of like, who would I be in that? Does that make sense? Like, do I recognize the miracle? Am I willing to like stand up like and speak to that? I was listening to a podcast about it. It's so funny because Bernadette like texted to the team the same thing that I was listening to because she had watched. You saw Bishop Barron's mass today, right, Bernadette?
Right. I just watched the Liturgy of the Word because I was coming to this, and I went to mass yesterday at the cathedral. But yes, Bishop Barron had just a really some powerful insights. One of the things he said was that the mud that Jesus puts in the blind man's eyes are the actions of the church, the sacraments that heal us and restore us and renew us. And then it's in the waters of baptism that mud is wiped off and we are conformed into his image and likeness. It was really good. If you haven't gone to mass yet, I encourage you to check out Bishop Barron's homily. If you're homesick, watch Christ the King.
Yes. Perfect.
So I was talking, I like that you texted to everyone like the idea of the sacramental, like this gospel sort of points to the sacramental piece of the fact that Jesus heals the man with him through himself. And through that healing, we recognize and we're made new kind of thing. Like his whole life was given to him in that moment of healing. And yet not everyone like understands that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Shake your heads if it's yes or shake your heads if it's no. One of the, I'm going to read it off my phone, but one of the questions that I was pondering that I wrote out, I should probably have written it out on the side part, but it was talking about who do you relate more to in the story? And it asks, are you the healed blind man eager to share the news of what God has done for you? Are you one of the Pharisees concerned more with the letter than the spirit of God's law? Are you one of the man's parents willing to acknowledge the miracle has happened, but not wanting to speak about them or draw attention to yourself for fear of what someone might say or do? And then thinking about who we are in maybe certain situations, but then maybe thinking about like how God's calling us forth in that. So I thought that might be a fun discussion question. So anyone's welcome to jump in. And just make sure you unmute yourself. Or if you give me a little reaction thumbs up, I can call on you too. Or I can call you out. I'm just kidding.
So would you repeat the options, please?
Sure. The first one is, are you the healed blind man eager to share the news of what God has done for you? Are you one of the Pharisees concerned more with the letter of the law than the spirit of the law? Or are you one of the man's parents willing to acknowledge the miracles happened, but not wanting to speak about them or draw attention to yourself for fear of what someone might say or do?
I would be the one who told, because just having been in darkness like that for so long, it just would have been too much. I wouldn't have been able to contain myself. How could I not? I would have been the one running through the streets. I can see. It would not have been a secret. They call me heretic, whatever. They'd be strong. But I would be the one who would be running through the streets telling everyone of what God has done for me.
I have to agree. Can you imagine to not be able to see and then now to, you'd want to share that, right? That'd be such a joyful, joyous thing that you want to share with everyone.
Right.
I think it'd be hard because like you're turning on your head because like in those days, sin meant like you did something wrong or your parents did something wrong, or it's like retribution for generations. So I think it would be hard. I think if God had healed me, I would have been like, yeah, but I think I'm more of like, in most situations, I tend to be the parent. Like, I see it and I acknowledge it, but I'm not always like vocal about it. Or sometimes even the Pharisees, like a little skeptical. Like, I think I struggle in the other two more than I like to think I was the healed man, but I don't know that I am in every situation.
Yeah.
Evelyn, I need your trust.
Carla, I agree with that. And also my camera is not working. I thought my desktop had a camera and it doesn't. I think before this program and everything, I was very much like the parents. And a few sessions ago, I told Bernadette and a few others in my close circle, but I was in a car accident like years ago, maybe like 2017, so like 3 years ago at this point. And I probably should have like died in the car accident. And it was horrible. I totaled the car. The police said when I got there, like, oh, we're surprised you're in the car accident because you walked away. We thought the person would be dead. And I feel like I like very much looked at that as like I was saved. But I don't think I was ready at that point to like boast about it. But now after going through this program, I think I'm much more like the blind man, like willing to talk about it more. So.
Yeah. Well, and for me too, I think it also depends on what setting I'm in.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like,
in this setting, I feel so loved and comfortable. I can boast about God all the time. I think when I go out in other settings is when I turn more into like, I think I sometimes get scared and lose my boldness. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone else feels that way.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely, same.
Melissa, what are you thinking? Oh, is she frozen? Anyone else?
I think it's similar to you. It really depends on the setting that I'm in sometimes. And certainly when we're around groups of people that we trust, it's, I don't want to say it's easier to be boastful, but you certainly feel more comfortable or maybe enabled. But one of the neat things, maybe one of the opportunities I've had over the last few weeks is I found myself in conversations with friends and family members being able to share the gospel a little more freely, and not to say that it's easier, but it's maybe one of the positive things that comes from times like this is that maybe there's more opportunities. So never discount those conversations that you have, even with close loved ones and friends, to share the gospel of Jesus and be a little more open and outward with your faith.
One of the things that I've experienced of late, my father is in the hospital with pneumonia, and he has tested positive for corona as well. And one of the things we're looking at doing as staff members is doing a 3 to 5 minute reflection on the daily mass gospel, just to kind of stay in touch with folks. And so we've been working on some of those to get it started next week. And I did mine and I shared it with my dad in the hospital, and my sister and brother and niece were on the call as well. And my brother said, well, we should do this every day as a part of our first video chat with dad, and just kind of share the reflection and pray together. And so I think this time is also an opportunity to be a little more explicit in how we approach matters of faith, because people have the time to do it, first of all, and they may be more open because of all the uncertainty. They may be looking for the answers that Jesus has for them. They you may encounter more people who are walking around blind that need you to kind of be the salve, the person who puts the salve in their eyes so that they can then see.
Yes, that's good stuff right there.
Jasmine, I see that you have your hand raised.
I'm sorry. I know how to take it down.
Oh, I'll do it. Did you want to say anything, or are you just saying yes?
I'm just saying yes.
Raise your hand, girl.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
Anna, do you guys have anything? I saw you guys raised your hand.
Yeah, one thing that you touched on briefly was that.
Unmuted yourself. Oh, so let's just make a noise.
Sorry. He's critiquing my Zoom technique. But one thing you touched on earlier was that at the time, a disability like blindness was seen as a result of sin, and or generational sin. And Jesus really turns that on his head and says, no, he didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. And that was pretty, I think that kind of gets lost in the overall message of the story, but that was hugely important at the time and even now, that people who have disabilities, there's nothing wrong with them. They didn't sin. It's not their fault. And that was pretty revolutionary idea. And even kind of bringing it around to today's times, like having, you know, being sick or having the virus, or like it's not a result of a sin, but it is something that Jesus can heal.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I was fascinated with the parents' reaction, because I'm sure that they felt some sort of weight of that, this, like, their son's entire life. And so they would speak and recognize the miracle, but they wouldn't credit it for fear that they would lose everything that they knew, right? Like, they would lose community. They would lose the approval of the Pharisees. They would, like, literally lose anything that was comfortable or that was known by speaking it. And there was still hesitation there. And so I think for me, this gospel especially challenged me in that. Am I okay with letting go of what is known to step out? Like, and I think that, like, we're sort of all there right now. Just sort of in the nature of what we're doing in general, but like, are we willing to step out in the known without fear or hesitation and trust, and like really be able to trust? So that was sort of like one aspect of it that I was like, I don't know, for me, this gospel, I was very fascinated by the parents' reaction. So anyway, yeah. Anyone else have anything? Oh, wait, I see one. I'm unmuting you now. How are you?
I am unmuted. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for raising your hand.
we're at Cordell Botanical Gardens today. Oh, so
beautiful.
I was going to say, you were talking about fear. My dad used to always say something. He used to always say, if you're not a little bit afraid about something you're going to do, then you're not taking it seriously. And I always kind of took that as kind of dissect the situation first and try and get a better grasp on it, which is, it's kind of hard to do. I mean, because like what you're talking about, are you the one that skits up and says something? If you witness it, are you the one that acknowledges it but doesn't say anything? Or do you just kind of dissect it to its letter and see if it meets all the criteria that you've known of before? I would say that before I was the dissector. I mean, I would take something to its core and try and dissect it to find the source of it. But now, you know, it's more along the lines of you just got to have the faith in what you're believing and not try and nitpick it to death, because all you're going to do is deconstruct it into less than what it is. And just, you know, sometimes you just got to accept it for what it is and just let it be.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, having that holy bolt, and it's okay to be cautious, right? Like, but like still having that holy boldness. Yeah, I like that a lot. Thanks for sharing. And thanks for sharing the beauty of the botanical gardens.
Oh, yeah. All yours. Enjoy. It's a tree. It's the only tree in my yard.
I like that you chose outside. Anybody else before we wrap up? Bernadette, do you have anything to add?
No, I thank you all for participating today and in this gospel. This is a rich one, and I encourage you to just go back and read it and just plumb its depths a little bit more as you go through the day today.
Awesome. Well, since we are mostly quarantined to our homes and our yards, this week we're going to be doing our reflection. Last week we prayed the rosary. This week we're going to be doing our reflection on the Stations of the Cross. And this practice happened, like, sort of developed around the time of the Crusades, almost, when people would come and take pilgrimages and want to visit the holy sites in which, like, Jesus walked and felt and suffered as they did pilgrimages to, like, the Church of the Nativity and stuff. And so in Lent, they're especially prayed during Lent in our churches, and usually every Friday they'll do it during Lent. And so it's been interesting this year because, like, usually I'm always, like, the one to go to, like, Stations of the Cross and the Fish Fry, or the Fish Fry and Stations of the Cross at a parish near me. And so it's been really weird not to do that this year. And so we, as a team, we're going to bring these reflections into really enter in. And I think it's sort of hard sometimes when you pray them, because, like, sometimes your heart gets really heavy. But I think that there's something that each one of us needs to take from one of the stations. So as you're praying it, there might be a station that really, or a reflection that happens that really touches your heart. And that's what you're supposed to take and pray with this week. And so this, the way that we're going to do this is different members of the team are going to lead each station in reflection. And I'm going to screen share sort of a visual of each station that, that you can reflect on as you're listening. Does that sound good? So if you want to click, I'm going to try and share it now. And if you want to click, if you can see it, you might want to click on that screen to make it the bigger screen on your view while we do this. Hold on, let me share it.
And the other thing is, you also have these reflections in the handout I gave you for Lent. It's number E5. The Way of the Cross.
Can you guys all see that?
Uh-huh. Yep. Got it.
And then if you guys are not leading, if you guys will mute your microphones, and then just remember, if you guys are leading, to make sure your microphone's unmuted, because I can't see everyone right now because of how my screen is sharing. The cool thing about stations, when you're doing the reflection that I wanted to go over with you, and I'll have it up on the screen each time, is there's a tradition in the church of that call and response, sort of like Mass. And so at the end of every station, the leader... The leader is going to say, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you." And the response, even though we can't, you're going to be muted so we can't hear you, is, "Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world." And so that'll be your response. So the leader will say both parts, but don't be afraid to jump in even if you're muted. And as we go through each one of the stations, one of the special pieces of the station in which Jesus dies on the cross, we usually have a moment of silence there. So if there is a longer moment of silence, don't stress out, you're not frozen, but just really take some time to enter into what that reflection is. Does that make sense? Awesome. Amen. Does everyone ready? Awesome. All right. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Station one, Jesus is condemned to death. The crowd only shouted louder, "Crucify him." So Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. Jesus, you face those who judge and condemn you and felt only love for them. You struggled with fear, but continued your mission. You cherished your humanity and your divinity. Loving Christ, sometimes I lash out to cover my own fears. Show me how to accept myself as a person in the process of growth, painfully struggling to become the person you want me to be. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Jesus carries his cross. Carrying the cross himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull. Jesus, you willingly accepted your cross. We value power, but you became powerless. We strive for status and control, but you gave yours away. You continued on despite your burden, while we often give up in our daily struggles. Loving Christ, I often become discouraged with life. I avoid responsibility for my thoughts, feelings, and actions. Teach me to surrender myself, to be generous with my time, talents, and treasures. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Station three, Jesus falls the first time. Jesus, the burden of the cross was too great. You fell to the dust, but pulled yourself up again. Exhausted and suffering, you shouldered your burden while we sometimes force our crosses on others. You continue to move to your destination while we invent excuses to give up our struggles, to abandon our call to follow you. Loving Christ, I often fall in my struggle to follow you. Show me how to forgive myself. Sometimes I give up hope, lose faith, and refuse to persevere. Your example speaks to me, encouraging me to carry my own cross on my journey back to you. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Station four, Jesus meets his mother. Though the Gospels don't record Jesus meeting his mother as he carried the cross, we know she was there at the crucifixion. Jesus, you showed us we can't shield those we love from pain. You experienced your mother's anguish as she watched you. You gazed with compassion on her pain-filled face. Loving Christ, teach me to be compassionate to others who are hurting. Teach me to be considerate and loving as you were to your mother and she was to you. Give me strength to express my feelings of love. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Station 5, Simon helps Jesus carry his cross. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, to carry his cross. Jesus, you shared your burden with Simon, showing that we all need help at times. Loving Christ, inspire me to come forward, step out of the crowd, and acknowledge you. I am often asked to help, care, or serve, but I refuse. Sometimes I am offered help, but I don't accept it. Help me say yes to helping others and to letting others help me too. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. According to tradition, a woman came forward from the crowd to wipe the sweat and blood from Jesus' face. The likeness of Jesus' face appeared on the veil she used. Jesus, what courage it must have taken for Veronica to defy the soldiers and offer you comfort. Loving Christ, at times my faith is weak, and I am reluctant to be Christ for others and to share the message of your salvation. Help me to act and speak in spite of fear or embarrassment. Give me the grace to be more like you for the sake of others. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Jesus falls a second time. Jesus, you showed us how to accept human limitations in ourselves and in others. Climbing with your heavy burden, your body gave out once more. You showed us that it's only natural to fail sometimes. You reveal empathy for our struggles to persevere. Loving Christ, teach me to focus on what you want me to be instead of trying to control others. Help me to stretch out my hand to those who fall and help them as we journey together in faith, hope, and love. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Station 8. Jesus speaks to the women of Jerusalem. Jesus turned to the women and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children." Jesus, you told the women to weep over their own oppression. You embraced the powerless and healed the brokenhearted. Loving Christ, teach me to love mercy and to act justly. Help me to appreciate all who touch my life and to bring healing to areas of brokenness wherever I encounter it. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Station 9, Jesus falls a third time. Jesus, the burden you carried overpowered you once more, and your body crumpled. With your failing strength, you pulled yourself up again. Loving Christ, in your weakness, you show me strength. Teach me that it doesn't matter how often I fall along my journey. What counts is that I get up and start again. Help me to trust you to help become the person I was meant to be. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Jesus is stripped of his garments. They took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. Jesus, you endured the humiliation of being stripped of your clothes as you stood before the scorn-filled crowd. You gave yourself completely without reservation. Loving Christ, teach me to be open and honest in my relationships. Teach me humility. Show me how to become vulnerable, because only then will I be able to love. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Station 11. Jesus is nailed to the cross. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. John 19:18. Jesus, you showed us that we will be pierced many times in this life. With each blow of the hammer, the burning metal penetrated deeper into your flesh. You endured the agony of the crucifixion for love. Loving Christ, help me not to crucify others by my words, acts, or omissions. Teach me to let go of negative behaviors and transform my vices into virtues. Teach me to build up your body instead of tearing it apart. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Station 12, Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he breathed his last. Jesus, you showed us how to give life and love through your sacrifice. As the weight of your body forced air from your lungs, you thought of us. You asked God to forgive our ignorance and sin. Loving Christ, you gave everything for me, and I withhold so much. Show me how to live the demands of love more fully, so that I might become a true disciple. Help me to understand that by your death, you show me how to die and rise each day. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Station 13, Jesus is taken down from the cross. Joseph came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was waiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Jesus, you teach us to trust in you, even when everything seems hopeless. After your death, the few friends near the cross didn't run away, even though they were shaken. They reacted courageously and demanded your broken body for burial. Loving Christ, I am often weak in my faith as I see suffering and death in the world. Teach me that loss and grief can be vehicles of redemption and growth. Help me to transcend the darkness and bring the light of justice, peace, and love to others. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Jesus is laid in the tomb. After Joseph of Arimathea had taken Jesus' body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb. Jesus, since it was almost time for Passover, your broken body was hurriedly wrapped in a shroud, rushed to the tomb, and left on a stone slab. Hurrying to bury you before the start of the Jewish Passover, no one took the time to clean and anoint your body. Loving Christ, help me remember the oppressed and forgotten. Help me not to ignore or hurry past those in need. Show me how to love as you have loved. Help us to be patient in waiting and the hope of the resurrection. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that as we meditate on these stations, that you just may help us to wait patiently in hope. Any questions, any anxieties, any joys, any pain that we have in our hearts, that you may take those and continue them to mold them to your will. We especially pray for anyone who is struggling with sickness, and healthcare workers and families, that you just may continue to order our days and our minutes and help us to always keep you in our eyes. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Any thoughts? Jasmine, I see your hand raised.
Very moving, very puts things into perspective during this season, and definitely in our daily walk, all the prayers that we pray through all the stations, it really gives you a different perspective on how you are living your life and the life that Jesus gave for us.
Yeah. I think one of the most difficult things we can do in our faith is try to put ourselves into the moment, or in, you know, into Christ's walk to the cross and the agony and the pain and the suffering that he endured. And this was a wonderful reflection and way to do that, and also translate that into our own daily lives. And I think it provides a wonderful conduit, you know, to think about how we're acting as his disciples and how we're called to act. And ultimately as a reminder, just the true agony and pure act of selfless love that Christ gave on his walk to the cross.
Yeah. It really struck me, the one station, I think it was when he fell the second time, it was talking about like letting go of control. And that's really hard for me. But like, that's the only true way to get to the resurrection, is to like let go of that fear and let go of that control. And I like to be the one in control a lot. So I feel like, I don't know, like as much as it gives you sort of a heavy heart as you reflect on it, it also like for me challenges me and makes me excited for the resurrection.
I think these meditations take on a whole new meaning now that we have a lot more time to actually reflect on all things. Bishop Barron has a video wherein he talks about this being a time for us to look at the bigger questions of life, because we aren't so distracted by everything else that we put in place to avoid thinking of things that are really important. And so as I listened to these meditations, they were a lot more impactful as for me, as I thought about them in light of being quarantined for 5 days or possibly weeks depending on what happens as we try to flatten the curve. So it's amazing how timeless the gospel is.
Well, and also helping to remember that Jesus is in all of us. And so as we're obedient to not being able to receive him, that he's already there as well. So in anticipation of sacraments, I know there's so many questions about what Easter is going to look like and all of that, but like he is here and he's in us. And that gives me peace. Anybody else have anything they want to share?
I sent out a chat request, but if you're on the phone, you may not hear it, may not read it. If you have any prayer intentions you'd like for us all to share, please either put them in chat or text or email them to me, and I'll send those out so that we can stay in solidarity with one another during this time.
So Bernadette, what's the word on baptism and like Easter?
So I had a conversation with Monsignor yesterday, and the latest is they are looking at options. They haven't made a final decision. I think with us being officially down through Palm Sunday, it may look like a postponement of some sort, but we don't know when we'll have the ability to have public masses again, or when we will be able to celebrate the Easter Vigil. I think if at the very least there will be an Easter Vigil with just the priest saying that mass. Obviously it'll be streamlined because we won't have people there, but in terms of your receiving sacraments, they're still trying to figure that out, not just for our parish, but for the whole diocese. The good news story is we have a new bishop who can kind of spearhead that whole thought process. The bad news is he also has this diocese and his old diocese that he's trying to do that for. So he's basically running Georgia. Which, you know, that's pretty good.
Crazy times, gotta love it.
Yeah, I love it. So I would say that as I get more information, I will share it with you so that, because I know that, I think it was Melissa who said last week at the scrutiny, or 2 weeks ago at the scrutiny, I've been waiting for this for 7 months. I don't want it to be postponed. So,
yeah, for sure.
But you will be baptized. I think, and Carla, check me, I think it's in the Catechism 1259, somewhere around in there. We don't have to worry because there is such a concept. This is your homework. Look up baptism of desire.
Yeah.
So if something should happen to you, God forbid, just your desire to be baptized, God honors that, and you receive the graces of baptism. So, and for those of us who are already baptized, we and are waiting First Eucharist or confirmation, we have received a portion because of our baptisms. And so we aren't floating out there without a tether. We are connected and rooted in Christ already through our baptism.
I feel really united with you guys in a way I don't think I ever have in the past.
Oh, I know.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Everything is done so differently now. It's crazy.
Yes, it is. It is.
But we're able to do it. You know, that's the great thing. We can be, you know, apart in person, but definitely together in prayer and in technology.
We're all a lot more tech savvy than we thought, huh?
Yes, I know.
Who knew you could do religion like this?
Especially the mass. Who would ever think you could go to mass online, right?
Right. Well, we knew we could do it for the sick and the shut-in, but you know, I'm healthy. I can go where I want, do whatever I want to do. And now All of those things that we did for the sick and the shut-ins are available for the masses, no pun intended. But so.
You know, I found something so interesting. The word quarantine in the history of quarantine is about 40 days. And I thought that was so interesting because Lent is 40 days. So I just thought that perhaps God is calling us to go deeper.
I think you're right about that.
Yes, I know.
I hope it's only 40 days.
I know, right?
Oh, I hope it's only 40 days, but whatever it takes to protect us, I'm willing to do. This is a great time to be an introvert because then you don't worry about not seeing a lot of folks.
Right?
Yeah.
That's so hard for me, though.
Yeah, you are very much not an introvert, Nicole.
I love people, so it's hard for me, yes.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I have found Google Duo to be my best friend in these last days because if you are on an Android platform, you can use it on your iPhone, whereas people on Android platforms can't use always FaceTime. Or used to not be able to use FaceTime. And so if you need to connect, you know, just give me a call. We can FaceTime or have a conversation via Google Duo. You don't have to be alone at all during this. Davis.
Sounds good. Thank you.
We can't hear you. Or were you talking to us?
I was looking up Google Duo, trying to figure out. Okay.
I don't know. I'm an introvert and still there's moments of struggle for me too.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you so much for coming and praying with us today. And we will be here next week. You know, I said that the retreat was canceled because, you know, obviously we can't join together in one place, but we are working on being able to provide the retreat for you via Zoom, and we will be back with more details in the next week. Okay. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a good week. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Pray for those who care for those who are ill. And pray for the sick and the dying.
Hey, I love guys. You all. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Yay.